Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender, text number 18. Atmatma japta griha, Atmatma japta griha vita janeshu saktar. Tush prapyanaya guna sanga vivarjitaya. Muktatma bhiswaridaye paribhavitaya. Gyanatmane bhagavate nama ishvaraya. Atma, the mind and body. Atmaja, sons and daughters. Apta, friends and relatives. Griha, home, community, society, and nation. Vita, wealth. Janeshu, to various servants and assistants. Saktai, by those who are too attached. Dushprapyanaya, unto you who are very difficult to achieve. Gunasanga, by the three modes of material nature. Vivarjitaya, who are not contaminated. Mukta Atmabhi, by persons who are already liberated. Swaridaye, within the core of the heart. Paribhavitaya, unto you, who are always meditated upon. Jnana Atmane, the reservoir of all enlightenment. Bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. Ishvaraya, unto the Supreme Controller. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, those who are completely freed from material contamination always meditate upon you within the cores of their hearts. You are extremely difficult to attain for those like me who are too attached to mental concoction, home, relatives, family, relatives, friends, money, servants, and assistants. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, uncontaminated by the modes of nature. You are the reservoir of all enlightenment and the Supreme Controller. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes into the material world, he is unaffected by the modes of material nature. This is confirmed in Ishapanishad, Apapavidam. He is not contaminated. The same fact is described here. Guna Sangha Vivarjita. Though the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears as an incarnation within this material world, he is unaffected by the modes of material nature. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 9:11, Avajananti mam uda manushim tanam ashrityam. Foolish men with insufficient knowledge derive the Personality of Godhead because he appears just like a human being. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be understood only by the Muktatma, the liberated soul. Muktatma bi sa swa ridiye paribhavitaya. Only the liberated person can constantly think of Krishna. Such a person is the greatest of all yogis. Yoginam api sarvesham Madgate Nataratmana Sharavan Bhajate Yomam Same Yuktatamo Mataha. Of all yogis who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendent loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. So the translation again. My Lord, those who are completely freed from material contamination always meditate upon you within the cores of their hearts. You're extremely difficult to attain for those like me, too attached to mental concoction, home, relatives, friends, money, servants, and assistants. You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. You're the reservoir of all enlightenment, Supreme Controller. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Here it mentions that Krishna, he's above the material energy. Without being above the material energy, Krishna cannot be controlling the material energy. And if Krishna wasn't controlling the material energy, then it would be hard to explain how the material nature is so obviously controlled. That the planets, they move in their orbits, the sun rises at a certain time, the sun sets at a certain time. We eat food, aham vaishnaro bhutva praninam deham ashritya, prana pana samayuktva pachamnanyanam chaturavidam. That I become the fire of digestion. And I therefore, aham vaishnara bhutva praninam deham ashvityam. And therefore I give the digestive power by which one is able to digest the four kinds of foodstuffs. Pacham, now five kinds of foodstuffs. So it would be hard for us to explain exactly how in every living entity there's a fire of digestion that just so happens converts food into whatever body you happen to have. If a tiger eats a deer, the deer gets converted into the body of a tiger. If we eat an apple, it gets converted into the body of a human being. So how that goes on, what's the mystic process that those who speculate and claim that they have the knowledge of how it takes place, but can't explain it. In other words, if they actually had knowledge of how the material world was actually working, then they would be able to duplicate it. They could create a machine, and you put in one end, you could put grass, and the other end, you'd get milk. That would be a very good machine. But Krishna has created such a machine called the cow. Unfortunately, they give the Nobel Prize to people who simply speculate, but the cow who can do something practical, they slaughter. So that's demoniac civilization. But Krishna claims throughout Bhagavad Gita, practically in every chapter, that he's not under the spell of the material nature like we are. Therefore, he says in the seventh chapter, Ye chaiva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasas chaye vatak eviti tamvidi na chaham teshu te mayi. Srivira gunamayara bhavar evik sarvam vidam jagat mavitam nabijanati mam evyak param avya. So, ye, all these three modes. Although we ourselves are transcendental to the three modes, but we are entangled in them presently because we believe in them. And because we believe in what the three modes promise us, therefore we dovetail our desires with the desires arising from the three modes, and the material nature kindly makes arrangements for us so we can experience the results of such desiring. Either pain or so-called pleasure, or in between, or a combination of both. And still, the living entity, because he's in ignorance, he thinks himself independent, he thinks himself to be the doer, he doesn't recognize Krishna. Therefore it says here, avijananti mamuta. When Krishna comes, then they just take him as an ordinary person, just like we are. Even he lifts Govardhan Hill with his left pinky and holds it for 7 days. Of course, Mother Jasoda thought Nanda Maharaj and some of the other cowherd men were actually lifting the hill. But that's called yoga maya. Kamsa just made light of it. He said, big deal, so he lifted one pebble, Govardhan Hill. So even one is experiencing God directly, if one doesn't like him, then one will minimize whatever activities he does. That if an ordinary person is glorified, then he becomes an extraordinary person. And even an extraordinary person, if he's criticized, then he becomes an ordinary person. So, because people have come here, they're envious of Krishna. Therefore, naturally, they're envious of whatever he does, and they minimize it and try to make light of it, or dismiss it, or criticize it. And therefore, they remain entangled by the mode's material nature, because that's the gift of Maya, to allow us to do that. Even the Supreme Personality of Godhead is standing right before us, as Krishna did, right before Kamsa, or Hiranyaksha, or Hiranyakashipu. Still, they cannot take advantage of such association because of their envious attitude. Therefore, naham prakasha sarvasha, yogamaya samavrita, mudoyam nabhijananti, lokoyam ajam avyam. I've never manifested the foolish and unintelligent. So practically everyone in this material world is foolish and unintelligent. As a matter of fact, anyone who doesn't know Krishna must be foolish and unintelligent to one degree or another. Now, a little intelligence is to understand that we're a soul, but it's not very much intelligence. But even that much intelligence, people don't have. They can't see the difference between a living body and a dead body. Even you go to the learned professors at the university, medical professionals, those who study physiology, chemistry, biology, psychology, they can't understand the difference between a living body and a dead body. Therefore, they have the same amount of advancement in knowledge as the cow or the ass. Matter of fact, the cow and an ass, he makes things less complicated than these so-called scientists. And because they've added 1 + 1 and they've gotten 3, everything after that they do is simply troublesome. And how complicated they make their mathematical equations, it's always wrong. Because the basic principle they don't know. Now, even more foolish, that's like a child, he may see a car driving down the street, but he doesn't see the driver. So he thinks that the car or the airplane flying in the sky is flying automatically. He doesn't recognize that there's a pilot or a driver. So therefore he's foolish. He doesn't know actually what's going on. Similarly, if we look at anyone who looks at the universe and doesn't see that there's a driver behind the universe, then he's simply on the same level as the child. He may be awarded by institutions who are made of foolish people also, different titles and degrees. But actually, it's just like calling, as Prabhupada said. In India, sometimes a child is born blind, and the mother gives the child the name of Kamalakshana. What is the word? Padmalakshana. Lotus eye. Actually, they're blind, but out of sentiment, they're given the title of Padmalokana? Lochana. Similarly, people are foolish, they're unintelligent, they don't know who they are. They don't know even what kind of body they have under the modes of nature. They don't know where they're going after they leave this body, and yet they're given different titles. And they actually accept the title as being, they're being worthy of that title. Just like Sanatana Goswami, when he was imprisoned, He wanted to get out of the prison, so his brother, Rupa Goswami, he sent him some gold coins to bribe the jailkeeper. So the jailkeeper, he told the jailkeeper, he said, I'd like to give you some gold coins and you can let me go. He said, well, I'm not really so sure, I might get into trouble. But actually, Sanatana Goswami told the jailkeeper, don't worry about it, because you're a learned scholar. And you know, according to the Quran, that anyone who liberates a person from the material entanglement, or anyone who frees a prisoner, goes to the heavenly planets to join Allah. So this jailkeeper probably never read a book in his life. Probably there weren't any books. He was a illiterate rascal. But because he was being complimented by Sanatana Goswami that he was a learned scholar, immediately accepted it. And when he accepted that title of learned scholar, then he also had to accept all the nonsense that Sanatana Goswami was telling him. So similarly, people are trained up to become fools and rascals, and then they're given a title on that basis. And therefore they become even more convinced of the foolish knowledge that they think they have. And they become even more rascals after the title. Therefore it's easier to convince a 5-year-old child the difference between matter and spirit than a learned professor at a university. We can see when Prabhupada is talking to the theologians and theosophists. Prabhupada just gave him a very simple definition of God. That God means the person who has all beauty, all knowledge, all wealth, all fame, all strength, and all renunciation. That's God. And Krishna has those qualities. He's being proposed as a candidate to become God because he's displayed these qualities. So why don't you accept him? No, we can't accept that. We're searching for God. That's our business, search for God. But his God, he's presenting himself directly before you. What's wrong with the definition? What's wrong with Krishna? No, we cannot accept. Therefore, they're mudhas. They're fools and rascals. They're on the same level as the animals. If you tell an animal God has all 6 qualities in full, the animal will simply smile at you and maybe he'll bite you if he's not in a good mood. Similarly, perfect definition of God, perfect understanding of the difference between matter and spirit, and so-called learned philosophers, scientists, they cannot accept it because they're actually not learned. They're in ignorance. They're in such ignorance that they actually think they're learned. And they're in such ignorance, they're more convinced than an ordinary person how much knowledge they have, when they actually, the more convinced of their ignorance, the worse their situation they're in. Therefore, the devotees shouldn't try to complicate things either. If we see Prabhupada giving a lecture to devotees who are more or less on our status of devotional attainment, we don't find Prabhupada making things very complicated. So we can miss the point. Tell some stories about, you know, great saints and sages 5,000 years ago, etc., etc., and tell nice stories from this Purana or that Purana or this Ramayana, this and that. And everyone thinks it's a nice class and they haven't learned anything. They walk away in the same material conception of life that they joined the class with. Their material conception of life is not challenged. Their causes and willingness to surrender to Krishna is not challenged. Their causes and willingness even to recognize that God is in the heart, directing them, watching them, and they're going to have to suffer, enjoy the results of whatever they do, because there is a person with them who's recording everything. Unless we have that basic knowledge, then whatever we're doing, however we may think ourselves to be devotees, but we're actually more or less in ignorance also. And even if we understand that I'm not this body, theoretically, if we don't do the activities that will help us release us from the material modes of nature, then our activities will actually be a waste of time. No matter how externally we may think we're devoted, but unless our consciousness changes so that we work on the basis of not only being eternal, but we work taking shelter of Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra as representatives of Paramatma within our heart. Not only when Guru or Sadhu or Shastra is present do we have our little angel, halo over our head, and we think ourselves very pure and advanced, and we don't associate with these dirty karmis. And then when we walk out, suddenly, you know, two horns sprout up, a little tail appears in the back, and we're back into our normal state of consciousness. That one has to understand not only whether or not this body, but take shelter of the super soul in our heart during the day and understand that the goal is to become aware of Krishna, to serve Krishna, to serve Krishna in this age, to serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's Radha and Krishna combined. And as soon as we become conscious of that, then we make spiritual advancement, then we become the best of all the yogis. And as soon as we forget that, we go back to being fools and rascals too, like everyone else. And above everything, unless we have faith that what Krishna is telling us in the Bhagavad Gita, and or in Srimad Bhagavatam, or in the Vedic literature, is true, that he's not being influenced by material nature, just like Haranyakashipu is claiming that Lord Varaha killed his brother because he was being influenced by the demigods, just like a child. Sometimes a child is offered some candy, and therefore he's willing to do anything because he got some candy. So Hiranyakashipu was claiming that Lord Varaha was influenced by the demigods, and therefore he unfairly killed his baby brother, Hiranyaksha. But Krishna is not like that. Krishna says, the Chamantani Karmani Nibandanti Dhananjaya Nivasinasa Asinam Asaktam Teshu Karmasu, that all this work cannot bind me, I'm ever detached, seated as though neutral. So Krishna says, Sarvabhutani Kondiya, Prakritim Yanti Mamikam, Kapuche Panastani, Kapadova Sri Jamyaham. Sarvabhutani Kondiya, that all, Osana Kondiya, at the end of the millennium, all material manifestations enter into me. Sarvabhutani Kondiya, Prakritim Yanti Mamikam, Kalpasheye pranastani kalpadavishvijamiham. And then, again, I create everything. But it didn't happen once. We happen to be in the one creation that's happened, as sometimes people think. But actually, Krishna says, prakritim swam avashtabhya vishvijami punak punak bhutagramamimam kritsnam avasham prakritiravishat. Again, I create everything, and then I destroy everything. Millions of billions and trillions of universes Krishna sends forth with unlimited living entities, practically speaking. And then when it's time, Krishna just pulls the switch and everything's destroyed. And Krishna says he's unaffected by the whole thing. That sweet little baby, Krishna doesn't, he destroys, kills it, and not a tear comes from his eye. What kind of God is this? So uncompassionate. So many living entities, he puts them forth, and they're all expecting that this creation is going to be the best. And they go on struggling for existence to make it good, create so many nice cities, create so many wonderful relationships, and then all of a sudden everything gets destroyed. And they're back asleep in Mahavishnu. And then he sends forth again, everyone's expecting this time it's going to be better. And it's exactly the same thing. It goes on and on and on. And Krishna is not at all affected by it. He's not lamenting, oh, I'm putting all these living entities in this material nature. and they're struggling for 311 trillion, 40 billion years, trying to be happy. And when they think they almost got it, I destroy everything. They're back again from zero. The only thing they get is the reaction to their activities. No, Krishna says, I'm ever detached, Sudha so neutral. Krishna didn't want the material nature. He didn't want to create an imprisonment for the living entities. But the living entities, that's what they want. And therefore Krishna reciprocates with them. They want to forget him. And therefore Krishna gives them the opportunity. And if they want to remember him, Krishna gives them that opportunity too. So it's up to us whether we want to remember Krishna or forget him. If we remember him and serve him, then we get out of the material world. And if we want to stay here in forgetfulness and imitate him, then Krishna will create one imitation for us after another in 8,400,000 species of life. And we may say, oh, I don't want to imitate Krishna. I don't even know him. Why should I want to imitate him? Well, that's our problem, is that we don't even know who we're imitating. But we want to control things, we want to enjoy things, we want to take credit for things, we want to do so many things, which are consciously or unconsciously are just imitations of Krishna. As Krishna writes in Bhagavad Gita, Ischa dvesha subhutena dvandva mohena bharata sarabhutani samoham sargayanti purantava. That all living entities are born into delusion. Probably none of us were on the level of Sukadeva Goswami, liberated from birth. And what is that delusion? We're overcome by desire and hate. We've been desiring and hating since time immemorial. And what is that desire? We desire to become God, to become the enjoyer and the controller. And we hate, what is that hate? We hate the fact we can't do it. That's the whole material existence summarized. So if we can understand that we have a problem, we're desiring and hating, and we're doing that because we're imitating Krishna, and instead of doing that, we should desire to become Krishna conscious, and we should hate the fact that we're not Krishna conscious. Then all our problems will be solved. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you. I have a question from the first part of the lecture where you mentioned about digestion and that people don't really understand how digestion works, whereas Krishna says, Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva, I am the fire of Vaishvanara. It's a silly question, but maybe you can give a wise answer. Devotees worship Krishna, who is the fire of digestion. So why, as devotees, sometimes we have bad digestion? We can't digest. Can't Krishna help?
Because we don't worship Krishna. Worshipping Krishna means we should follow his directions. Otherwise, if we just act whimsically, Krishna says, Yakshastri vidim utsrija vartate kamakarata sasidim avapnoti nasukam naparamvigitim. That those who give up the scripture and work whimsically can have neither peace nor happiness, the supreme destination, or proper digestion. So Krishna has given us Ayurveda, which Aham Vaishnava Veda Bhutva is just part of it. So there's a process of how to keep the fire of digestion proper. And if we follow it to the best of our ability, then we'll have a fire of digestion that's proper. And if we violate the laws of nature, then what can we expect? We violate Krishna's laws. We don't chew our food. We eat too much, we eat too little. We're anxiety when we're eating. We're talking when we're eating. We're doing so many things that disturb the fire of digestion. So what can Krishna do? He tells us, chew the food, tells us what to eat, tells us when to eat, tells us how to eat, tells us what we should do when we eat, what we think about when we eat. So if we don't follow, what can Krishna do? Give us the results of our misbehavior, that's all. Anything else? Avaduta, yes.
If a continuation of this question, if someone deviates from the ideal lifestyle, but in Krishna's service, like in Krishna's mission, for preaching, traveling, taking care of Srila Prabhupada's movement. In that case, why Krishna wouldn't help digest?
Why should he? No, Krishna will give spiritual advancement, but he'll also give you the reactions for your material activities. In general, I mean, Krishna could do anything, but that's generally. If you're so, as it says in the Madhuri Kandambini, it's like rush into to the goal with your eyes closed. You get some result, spiritual result, but you also may knock into a few things on the way. Why should Krishna encourage people to act whimsically?
If I understand correctly, if I, let's say, dedicate myself to serving Krishna's mission, then I do this for spiritual reasons, and then Krishna rewards me spiritually, whereas material, that was not what I was pursuing, so naturally it may fall by the side sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, if we're so unintelligent that we think that there is no, we don't see things in this material world in relation to Krishna, then what can Krishna do? Getting sick will help us do that. Take shelter of Krishna in a more practical way, so we won't eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little. Then even the six Goswamis, they were fixed in devotional service, but they had very weak health. So it wasn't that, you know, they were absorbed in Krishna consciousness, so it didn't affect them. But if we try to imitate them, then we'll get good health, nor will we get Krishna consciousness. So we have to act according to our actual situation. Anything else? What happened to Avadhuta Roy? Do we have an internet connection? No question. Okay. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. What's that? There is a question. Even the demigods speak lies.
Shall I read?
Yeah.
Avadhuta Roy says, in three questions. Vishwanath Chakravarti writes, without food, the prana cannot function. Food is therefore the prana of living beings. That's a quote, apparently. Question. Food is gross, prana is subtle. So how food makes the prana function?
Well, because within food there's prana. So prana, agni, ojas, they all work together so that the body is able to extract the prana from the food and therefore keep the soul within the body alive, or the soul within the body, which we call it alive.
There's someone else new asking questions.
Mike. Yeah, it's all right. Someone else is allowed besides Avadhuta Roy to ask questions.
So Vallabhi is asking, is it possible that someone will chant his whole life and not make any advancement?
It's possible to chant your whole life and go to hell afterwards. Go to hell. That's written, that's in the Madhuri Kandambini, I believe. If you, well, actually, Nama Chintamani, Harinam Chintamani. That the devotees were trying to chant in Namabhas so we can make some advancement. But the Mayavadis, with the wrong conception, are chanting in Nama Parad, and therefore, instead of making advancement, they're actually degrading themselves. That's also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that if one chants with attachment, with offensively, then actually instead of watering the Bhakti Lata Bij, one will be watering one's anarthas. So one has to be careful to avoid the 10 offenses. Otherwise, we might get ourselves into more trouble than we already are. Okay. Hvala, Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.